Your desire this morning that God would open up the heavens and allow you to see his power and his glory. And I tell you what, if that's what you want this morning, God doesn't want to hide from you. All right? I don't think that's God at all. I don't think he's trying to hide from us. I think he wants us to see his power and glory. Well, good morning. It's so good to have you here this morning at 12th Street Baptist Church. I am excited. We got a lot of great things going on. And before we get into all the great things going on, I want to say a big congratulations to Kevin and Nikki Powell on the birth of Christian Lee Powell. And he was born on Wednesday, I believe, July 25th at 6:30 p.m. So Kevin would like to say a thank you here.
Turn it on.
She turned you off.
Mean. Well, we just saw, Nikki and I wanted to say a big thank you. The shower last week was awesome. The prayers we've received were great. I just wanted to thank you very much for that. Michelle and Brandy, thank you very much for your hard work for that. Autumn, I know you took some pics, and they were great. So, again, just wanted to say thank you to each and every one of you. The support has been awesome and amazing, so thank you very much.
And then I want to say a thank you to everybody who helped with the car wash yesterday. If you helped with the car wash yesterday, if you could just stand up for a second. We had about 30 people that worked in the car wash. Thank you very much. And real quick, we got a quick little video. Before we show the video, we'll have the video ready here. If we were to go door-to-door as a church with 30 people, that'd be 15 groups of two. And we had some little ones, too, so it would have been difficult. But it would have taken us 2 hours. We probably, with 30 different groups, we probably could have hit about 300 homes, okay? And my dad and I, for years, my dad's a pastor, we've been keeping kind of a tally of when we go visit people at their homes and how many people are receptive. 10% of the people that I go knock on a door, cold call, 10% will even say hi to me without slamming the door in my face. And 1% will actually sit and listen to the gospel. Okay, it takes 100 doors to talk to one person. So we had 23 cars come through yesterday, and every single one got to hear the gospel. And so here's a quick little illustration of how that worked.
We're just trying to show people who Jesus is.
Man, I can't take this.
Man, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good reminders. So next time you see it, just remember, man, they washed my car and they reminded me about what Jesus did for me for a dot with that dollar. So, all right.
Spend this dollar.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, keep it somewhere.
Man, I feel
bad.
We should have tipped a little girl. No. Out there, man.
It's face, a sweet ride, man. I love it. Love it.
So we got to share the gospel. So what we said to every single person was, they tried to give us money because we just washed the car. We say, listen, we're giving you the dollar. We're not accepting money. And the reason we're giving you the dollar is we want to illustrate to you that Jesus Christ washed us clean from our sin. And then when it came time for the payment to be made, he didn't receive payment from us. He made the payment. So I said, we washed your car, and now we're giving you the payment to show you what Jesus did for you. So every time you look at this dollar, and we had a sheet of paper we gave him that explained everything, said, remember that Jesus washes away your sin, and you need to believe in him. And it was an awesome day, so thank you to everybody who helped with that. All right, this afternoon at 3 p.m., we have a meeting with Galilee Baptist Church, and so pray for that. Our outreach team is ready to go on September 22nd at Bronson Park. We will have a combined event with them. So if you are one of the servers for the meal today, please be here at 2:15. And so then committee, the meeting starts at 3, and we're looking forward to God leading us to some great things. In August, the month of August, is World Mission Coin Month. And grab one of the coin boxes out in the lobby. One of those boxes filled with coins is able to purchase what's called a treasure. It's an audio Bible. And one audio Bible will reach 144 people. 144 people throughout the life of that audio Bible will listen to it. And so this is a great way to get the gospel out. You say, well, why do an audio Bible? Well, they do it for places where the people don't know how to read. And you've got older people, there's really no chance to teach them how to read. Some of the areas, they don't have any access to printing or Bibles. And so this is an awesome way to get the gospel out. So during the month of August, last time we did this, we did 100 Bibles, okay? We were able to do 100. So we can't make the goal lower, can we? I mean, that would just be wrong. So our goal is 100 Bibles again, all right? So the last collection will be the last Sunday in August, so make sure that you get involved with that. We are handing out the backpacks for back to school on August 19th, the last day to receive them here is August 19th. We will be distributing them on August 26th. So if you'd like to participate in that, you can go to, at the Welcome Center, you can see we've got the backpack set up there. There is a wedding shower for Cooper Moyer and Taylor Snyder on August 5th. That will be next Sunday. And then we have our outdoor baptism and praise and worship service on August 12th. That will be at the Balcoma House. And it's going to be a great night, okay? It's afternoon. We're starting at 3 p.m. And if you are coming to that, please sign up at the Welcome Center so we know how much food and beverage to provide. Bring a dish to pass. And then if you need to be baptized, if you've never been baptized after your salvation, then I want to encourage you to do that. Right now, I think we have 8 people that are getting baptized, and we'd love to see that grow. On August 19th, we have a church potluck luau, and it's called a Ray Berry Fest. Everyone wear a Hawaiian shirt and bring something that will go with Hawaiian theme. And then also on September 16th, just to get this on your calendar, there will be a baby shower for Jorge and Jacqueline Cortez. So you can have all those things on your schedules. We do have a quick business meeting following this morning's service, so I want to make sure that all of our members, it won't be very long. There's one item of business that we need to vote on. We have Frank McGinnis is with us this morning. He's going to come up and give us a quick update on Bethany Christian Services and give us so we know how to pray for them. So come on up here, Frank. Up here is good. Yeah.
Thanks, Pastor Thad. Good morning, 12th Street. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good. It's good to see you all again. Just quickly, first of all, I'd like to thank my beautiful wife being with me. She's like one of the top volunteers for Bethany, and she goes with me everywhere. But just to update you guys, we need a lot of prayer. Bethany is still serving the communities, serving families, and nationwide, the need for foster care and adoptive care families is just critical. It's at critical mass at this point. We are really, really desperate for help. And more than that, we're desperate for prayer. So I want to make sure that I mention that to please keep Bethany Kalamazoo in your prayers. And if you like, you can join us on Monday mornings between 9:30 and 10. You can just come on over. We pray every morning in Jesus' name in the main conference room. Or you can call in, and I'll leave a number with that. Oh, speaking of calling in, can I do something really
Absolutely.
Quick? If you guys have your cell phones, you guys got your cell phones, pull your cell phones out.
Put them on vibrate while you're doing that.
Oh, sorry about that. Pull your cell phones out really quickly, and I'll explain it. Pull you quickly. And dial this number, 269, for a text. Go to your text message, dial 269. 615-3496, 269-615-3496, and text me directly. Tell me either, yes, you want to get involved with our prayer and leave your name, and I will contact you directly. And this is the easiest way we'll do it. No table set up. Nobody meet me after church. I'll call you directly. So you guys got it in? You got your texts up? Hold your phones up. All right? Text me. Let me tell you what I'm going to do with that. I'm going to take that text, and I'm going to take it directly to our director, who is under a lot of strain right now because of everything that's going on, and he needs to know that the church is praying for him and praying for his leadership at Bethany. I mean, he really needs to know that. And for me to show him all of these text messages of how the church still is keeping him up in prayer and keeping Bethany up in prayer would do him a world of good. So I'm not here to talk about myself today. You guys know we need foster care and adoptive families. Text your name. I'll call you back. If you don't want to be bothered any more than that, I'll show it to the director. But if you want to do something else, then we'll talk about it then, and I'll be done. Is that all right? Is that all right? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
Thank you.
Love you.
All right. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer here. Father, we thank you so much that we can be here together this morning. You're an awesome God, and we can never do enough to say thank you to you, or Lord, to live out enough to say we've earned something with you. Lord, I just thank you that every day you give. You give every perfect gift, every good gift that comes from above, from you, the Father, who never changes, who's always the same. And Lord, I thank you that today is, Frank talked to us about Bethany. I thank you that Bethany Christian Services is not just finding foster care or adoptive parents for children, but Lord, they are providing real help, both physically and spiritually. And so we lift them up in prayer. We ask God that you would every day give wisdom, give strength, and give guidance so that as an organization, they will please you as they serve the people. And Lord, I thank you for the car wash yesterday. I thank you for everybody who was involved. And Lord, every single person that was there, their contribution aided in bringing the gospel to hearts and to lives. And so, Lord, I pray that the gospel that was shared, that it will continue to be heard in the listeners' lives. And then, Lord, that it would take root and that there would be good fruit that comes from it. And Lord, as we sang this morning, we deeply do desire to see your power and your glory. And so, God, meet with us. Help us to remove everything that would hold back our ears from listening, our hearts from receiving, and ourselves from going and doing. Help us this morning, Lord, to be keenly attentive to your word, and let your word be powerful in our lives. To you be the glory. We love you, Lord Jesus. Bless this time we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us. Thank you.
clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the lion, the lion. Chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. Our God who calls the same is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before you. Our God is never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're
Can we have the ushers come forward, please?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you for another day on earth and providing us with the opportunity to come to church and worship you, Lord. And just bless the offering that's about to be taken. In your name, amen.
Claim of being the Son of God, the angry crowd demanded Jesus to be crucified. Jesus' disciples did not understand what was happening right in front of their eyes. They were losing both their friend and Lord. With cruelty and authority given by Pilate, the soldiers placed a heavy cross upon the back of Jesus. Struggling up the hill, bearing the weight of his cross, his heart ached for those who did not believe in him. Hanging on the cross with nails in his feet and in his hands, Jesus looked out and said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." After he breathed his last breath, everyone assumed it was all over. They thought he was gone, forever. Carefully placing his body in a borrowed tomb and sealing it tight, little did anyone know what was to happen next. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love cannot be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated forever. Glorified forever.
Thank you, choir, and thank you, Jenna. That's what a great mix of songs there. Well, at this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. And as the children are heading out, we are in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 as we continue through the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Newlyweds woke up one morning on their honeymoon, and the man suggested to his wife, he said, "Darling, why don't you brew us some coffee?" The wife looked confused. She said, "But that's your task." And he said, "What? Why would that be my task?" She said, "Well, it's all over the Bible. The Bible says," and the husband looked at her and said, "The Bible says nothing about who should be making the coffee." And the wife grabbed the Gideon Bible that was in the stand next to her. She opened it up and just began to flip. She said, "Look, Hebrews, Hebrews, Hebrews." First Thessalonians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 13. And if you're able to, you don't have to, but if you're able to, if you could stand as we read verses 1 through 13 together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, or chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you to us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." Thank you. You may be seated. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray that you would bless it as we look at it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the third chapter in a row now where Paul addresses the coming of the Lord Jesus. In chapter 1, verse 10, it said, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And then in chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, "What is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" And now in chapter 3, verse 13, we see it again. "To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." There's a theme throughout the book of Thessalonians, in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and that theme is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would be ready, that we would be prepared. And so before I launch into everything else that's in this passage, let me just ask you this question. Are you prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready? If you're not, this morning, the Lord Jesus, he wants you to know. The choir song was awesome. It took us through the gospel. Jesus Christ was arrested,
He was tried, found guilty of nothing because he's sinless, but they crucified him. He died. He was buried. And then he rose again the third day. And if you trust in what Jesus did for your sin, and you believe in what his work on the cross did for you, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So now, I know Caleb afterward, my brother, he'll probably talk to me and say, why do you talk the gospel and then talk about life being hard? Because every time I do it, he looks at me and goes, why do you do that? I think he's working out there, so I'll be all right. In verse 3, Paul's speaking to the church at Thessalonica, he says, you have affliction. See, the Christian life can be hard. In verse 4, he tells them, you will suffer tribulation. They just expected it. They knew that life was hard. Why was life hard? It was hard because they trusted Christ. So let me take you to the inception of the church at Thessalonica again. Paul had been in Philippi, and in Philippi he preached the gospel. People got saved. They didn't like it because one little girl that got saved, she was a fortune teller. And once the demon was cast out of her, she no longer could tell fortunes. And so they arrested him, they beat Paul, and then they put him in prison. The Lord removed him from prison by an earthquake that shook off all the chains, opened up all the doors. And then the jailer himself that was watching Paul in the prison, he got saved. He trusted Christ. So Paul had to leave Philippi, and the next town he went to was Thessalonica, the Thessalonians. And even while he was in Thessalonica, he was not able to stay there real long. We're told of 3 Sabbaths that he was there. He may have been there a little bit longer, but after that, the pagans and the religious Jews stormed the house that he was staying in, and he had to leave. And so this church that was left there, and he was only there a short amount of time, they were believers in the gospel. They wanted to know the truth. And the same people that wanted to kill Paul, now they are persecuting the people in Thessalonica because of their faith. And so Paul, he talks to them about their affliction in verse 3, that they would suffer tribulation in verse 4. In verse 5, he says, you have a tempter who tempts you. Wouldn't it be nice if we get saved and all of a sudden it's like, Satan can't even tempt me anymore. Wouldn't that be nice? He doesn't save us from sin in that we no longer are tempted with sin. He saves us from the power of sin. And they still had the tempter who was tempting them. And then in verse 7, he talks about them having affliction and distress. Now, a lot of places in the world today, when they talk about the gospel, they forget to mention these things. It's all about you get saved, you trust Jesus, and you will be blessed. And you know what? You will be blessed. There's a lot of times people forget, and sometimes we as Christians, we don't want to think about these things, that we will have affliction, that we'll suffer tribulation, that there's a tempter who tempts us, and that we'll have to go through affliction and distress. Now, the nice thing about this passage is that as many times as Paul talks about the hardships that they will face, twice as many times he talks about what will carry them through their hardship. And faith carries us through our hardships. In verse 2, he talks about faith. In verse 3, he says, you know. Okay, knowing is a really great thing. See, sometimes people say, oh, your faith in God, it's just imaginary. It's kind of like the tooth fairy. No, it's not. I know what I believe. I know because I have a God who has given me the ability to not only hope, but to know. My faith is the evidence of everything that I don't see. My faith is the proof of everything that I hope for. That's how God wants your faith to be. So when you face affliction, when you face tribulation, and temptation, and affliction and distress, God wants your faith, what you know about him, to carry you through those times. In verse 4, he talks about the fact that they can know. In fact, in verse 4, he talks about, you know you're going to suffer tribulation because you're a Christian. I mean, that seems contrary to what we want to hear. But that's the truth. Who do we face tribulation from? Well, we face it from people who don't believe. People who don't want to believe. The car wash was an awesome illustration of this yesterday. So from 11 to noon, we only had 3 cars come in to get washed. And it was busy. There were cars buzzing up and down 12th Street. And we only had 3 cars. And we actually, Don Lewis was standing out on the road yelling at cars, trying to get him to come in. And Brian Cooper was out there. We had a bunch of kids out there. We actually gave Don a bullhorn, as if he's not loud enough, right? Well, their windows were rolled up, so, we had to get through. And, sometimes this is how we feel as Christians. The world is racing by, and we're trying to stop them to share with them how they can be cleansed in their life. How they can be free from their sin. And we share with them the greatest news that will transform their life. And they don't want to stop. And we feel like, why is the world doing this? Well, here's what we have to understand. Jesus said that the world is not hating you. It's hating him in you. When Paul wrote to Timothy, Paul wrote and said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So the church at Thessalonica, they did not expect to trust Christ and then everything get easy. They knew that they would suffer tribulation. And so I want to encourage you with this, all right? This is encouraging. Okay, some of you, you're looking at me like, no, this is just awful. I mean, I woke up to hear this. This is encouraging. Let me tell you why. Because when you share Christ with someone, and you know if they don't believe, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who do not believe. And so you may sound like an idiot to them. I'm here to tell you this morning, expect it. Know that that is how people will respond to it. But when even one person listens, go knock on 100 doors and maybe one person will believe. When that one person believes, it's awesome. It's worth the 99 door slams. It's worth the times where people make fun of you or mock you. And you know what kind of persecution is that really? Someone mocks you for your faith? It's kind of like this. I was speaking at a camp and I had a $20 bill in my pocket. And I said, I will give any kid in this auditorium the money that's in my pocket if you'll just come up here and shake my hand. And they were all scared to death of me. I don't know why. A friendly looking guy. And they didn't, and nobody took me up on it. And I remember pulling the $20 out, and a kid goes, I would have if you would have told me it was a $20 bill. And I'm like, yeah, you would have, wouldn't you? But the point is, you have to have faith. Once I have faith, there are things that I know. One of the things the church at the Thessalonians knew is that they would suffer persecution. In verse 5, he talks about their faith again. And in verse 5, he wanted to know about their faith. So he sent Timothy. And Timothy was able to say, yes, I know their faith. Even though you're only here for 3 Sabbath days, for 3 weeks. These people, they have faith. And it's real, it's genuine, it's authentic. And I hope that's what can be said of us. When other people come and see us, when people from out of town or people visit, that they look and they say, man, there is something about that group of people. They have faith. In verse 6, he talks about that faith again. Timothy, he brought word back that they had great faith. And not only did they have faith, they had faith and love. And then in verse 7, again, he talks about their faith. That even though they had affliction and distress, they handled it with their faith. And then in verse 10, he talks about their faith again. Twice as many times in this passage, he'll talk about their faith as he talked about their hardship. What does that tell us? God gives more faith than the world can give you hardship. God dispenses his faith to you in a way where you can handle what is happening. So then in verses 11 through 13, we see the hope. Here's the first thing about our hope, that we will increase and abound in love to one another. God wants our love for each other to grow, to continue to become greater and greater and greater. And the church at Thessalonica, even though they're going through hard times, you know what's really great about when we get together on Sundays, when we get together on Wednesdays, when we have other times where we get together? You know what's really great about that? When we get together, we know that we're not under attack anymore. Isn't that awesome? Okay, I've been here at 12th Street for 5.5 years. Okay, November will be 6 years. I have never once felt like I was under attack when I came to church. Never once. Never was afraid of it. Never thought about, oh my goodness, so-and-so's out to get me today. You know why? Because we've got some love in this place. But he didn't say just increase and abound in love to each other. He says that they should increase and abound in love to all men. And you know who that includes? The people who persecute you. The people who afflict you. The people who make life hard for you. The people who cause tribulation to be great in your life. And you know what we do? We increase, abound in our love for them as well. It's easier to love them when we know we have a support system of love here. So then when we go out there, we can love. And you know what? A lot of that love gets spit on. A lot of that love gets hated. But then we come back here, and it's love again. This is the hope. You know, every church needs to have this hope. Every time we get together, this is the hope. I mean, I don't know how many times people have talked to me, and I feel this way too, that when we get together, it's like recharging the batteries. I mean, some of us, when we get here on Sunday, you know, it's like when our phone is on, you know, 3%, and it's saying, please charge me, please charge me. And that's how you feel when you get here on Sunday. And you know what I hope happens? Because of the love that's here, the love of God, for God, from God, that it infuses you, it fills you, and you are charged up. And you're ready to go take on the world and love the world, even though the world's going to persecute you. And you can handle it because you have faith. And you know that when you come back, you'll get charged up again. Then the third thing he tells them is to establish, or what God does with his hope. He establishes your hearts unblameable in holiness toward God. Here's the thing. You don't make yourself unblameable in holiness. I had a girl when I was a youth pastor. She was in the youth group. And I was talking about how I still struggled with things and I had to confess my sin to God. She went home and told her mom, and her mom said, you can never go back to that church. And so I went to the mom and I said, why can't she come back? And because you're a sinner. And I said, yeah, so are you. I said, we're all sinners. And she said, no, I'm not. I haven't sinned in 27 years. I said, you just sinned right now, lady. I said, you're a liar. Because you know what 1 John says? It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. And a little bit later, it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. She goes, well, I believe that I've become holy and I don't sin anymore. So I looked at her daughter and I said, does your mom sin? She goes, Mom, you swore at me yesterday. Here's the thing. We don't make ourselves holy. He does that. He establishes in our heart that we are unblameable in holiness. So if you're sitting here and you're going, well, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't act in sexual promiscuity, I am holy and unblameable. No, that doesn't mean that you're holy and unblameable. You say, well, you know what? I'm not a gossip, I'm not a liar, I'm not a backbiter, I'm not a hater. That does not mean that you're holy and unblameable. The thing that makes you holy and unblameable is Christ in you. That's what makes you unblameable in holiness. The thing that needs to happen is that you are established. You know this. You believe this. You have faith that he, Jesus Christ, the author, the finisher of your faith, he makes you holy and unblameable. And you should see the difference that he's making in your life. You are unblameable in holiness because he is doing that in you. It's not just a position that he puts you in. You're on the train for heaven. It's more than that. He's working in you. He's making of you a new creation where old things pass away and all things become new. In the forest in northern Europe and Asia, there's this little white weasel. It's a little animal called the ermine. Anybody here ever heard of the ermine? All right, one. All right. Karen, I'm just going to talk to you for a little bit. It's also called a stoat. Anybody here have a stoat before? Okay, we don't have them here, so it's okay. Let me tell you about it. It has snow-white fur in the winter. And the stoat, or the ermine, instinctively protects his white coat against anything that would get it dirty. So what hunters do to take advantage of this is they don't try to catch the ermine, or the stoat. They're hard to catch. Instead, they find where they live. It's usually the hollow of a tree or in the cleft of a rock. And they'll go to their house and put grime at the entrance. And the ermine will not go into their house because it will not soil their beautiful white fur. In fact, the dogs will catch the ermine and kill it, and it would rather die than get its pure white fur dirty. As Paul was speaking to the church at Thessalonica, he was telling them, God establishes in your mind that you are unblameable in holiness. Here's what he does. He says, you are my bride. Okay, my sister is getting married here in a few weeks, and she's all excited. She went out and she bought her dress. You know what she does with that dress? She makes sure that it is covered, that it is protected, that it can't get dirty at all, right? How many of you brides remember this? When you bought your wedding dress, you made sure that it didn't get dirty. You made sure that it was protected because when you walked down that aisle, you wanted it to be perfect. And that's exactly how Christ wants us to be presented before the Father. Unblameable in holiness. And we should be like the ermine or the stoat. That even if the world comes at us, and even if it afflicts us, it puts us in distress, and it causes tribulation in our life, that we should be willing to give our life to keep our holiness because it's worth it. This last week, we, in our house, our well was working perfectly. We have constant pressure well system. The constant pressure box was working perfectly. In fact, when the water quit working in our house, it was a year to the day that we got the new constant pressure water system put in. And so I call out a well service because I couldn't figure it out. I checked all the connections. Everything was solid. There was no error on the constant control pressure. And I'm like, what's going on? So they come over, and they are perplexed. They look at it, and they can't figure it out. Well, there's a little sensor right next to the bladder tank, and that little sensor was clogged up with muck. And because the little sensor was all clogged up, the entire system thought that it had full pressure, and it didn't need to work. It didn't need to do anything. It was good. Well, when we turned on our faucets, it was not good. Because we had no water, 2 days, no shower, okay? A lot of cologne being sprayed on. And so what they did is they just had to take off this little sensor. And they couldn't clean it out because it was so mucky it got ruined. They just put a new one on, and all of a sudden, the whole system fired right back up and started working correctly. There are some of us here this morning who have let a little bit of gunk get into our life, and we have clogged up the works. Everything else in our life seems like it's functioning perfectly, thinks that it's functioning purposely or perfectly, but we have this one little area, this tiny little thing that we've let get gunked up. And listen, the goal at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is that we could be presented holy and unblameable. And so this morning, God wants to get everything running again better in your life. He wants to use you. He wants to encourage you that your faith that you have in him, the faith that he gives to you, it can bring you through all the hardships that you face. And for some of you this morning, you just need to confess and get rid of that little bit of gunk that you've let door up. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's going to give you a whole system overhaul. He's going to change your life completely if you'll just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. You will be saved. Let's pray here together. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I pray for those this morning who are struggling in their life that they've got some of that gunk. Their life's clogged up with a sin or habit. Lord, this morning they need for you to help them. I pray right now, Lord, in the quietness of the moments ahead, that we would take advantage of this time. If anyone needs to come and confess, forsake their sin, thank you, Lord, that you forgive, you cleanse, and you give us righteousness. So, Lord, I just pray that as we close out this time, if anyone's never trusted you as their Savior, I pray that they would have the courage to just come out from where they're sitting, to come and to shake my hand and tell me that they want to trust Jesus, and, Lord, you will save today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be standing up here. I'd love to talk to you about it. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, you've got something you need to confess. You've got something you need to gunk to get out. I want to encourage you to just come and kneel at the altar and get that right with God. Whatever it is, let's let God have his way as we close out this service. Let's stand together.
I've tasted and seen.
of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, oh. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory,
that's our desire, just to have your presence overcome every area of our life. But Lord, we would be living out the purity, the unblameable and holiness that you give to us. Help us to know in our hearts, help us to know in our minds that this is true, that this is what our God, he does for us. And help us to live in this. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you work on our hearts. I pray that you'll continue to do so. Even as we leave here and go into the activities of the day, I thank you that today, Lord, you speak. Today you call. And I thank you, Lord, when we listen. So now unto him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb be all glory and honor and power and dominion, both now and forever, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful day. We will start our business meeting in 7 minutes.